Amen. Thank you, Peter. Crossroads was represented well yesterday. If you were in that bike wash, why don't you just stand up for a second? Just stand up for a second, if you can stand. What happened yesterday? Yeah, it was amazing. These people here represented us, and they represented us well. Go ahead and take a seat. Rest those legs. We were supposed to be there in a couple of different shifts. Normally, in years past, there's been eight stations, eight pressure washers. Yesterday, there were two. Not only two, there was no self-wash station, which meant all the bikes had to come through us. And it was somewhere upwards of 600 bikes that these people that just stood washed. It was incredible. We were there until what time? What, we left after 9? Nice work. Good job, team. We're excited about being able to help out the community in that way, aren't we? It's good. We are in part two of our... within the series of God Life, of talking about spiritual warfare, this ongoing battle that we have with the very real cosmic being, Satan. And sometimes that makes us uncomfortable, right? We live in this rational Western world where we want to be able to scientifically prove everything. But you can't prove everything. God has an element of mystery to him. And part of the mystery is that God is spirit. We don't actually see God the Father. God is spirit. And remember, we talked last week in John 4, we are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. And there's a spiritual battle that interfaces, that meshes, that comes into our material world. And if we don't acknowledge that, and if we don't learn about it, and then start to fight back, we will be at a disadvantage. And I believe too many times we are at a disadvantage. So last week we talked about the spiritual battle that happens in the world. This week we're talking about the spiritual battle that happens in the flesh. Now if you have your Bibles, I only got a couple of slides that were ready and they may not make it up on there, which is entirely my fault. I was at a bike wash until 9:30 last night. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians 2, and then you're going to turn your Bibles to Galatians 5, if you want to stick your finger in there and get ready. Galatians 2 says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." Okay, there's your first one, the battle of the world. "And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient," that's referring to Satan. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh." There's our third, the world, the devil, and the flesh. And we're going in the order of the world, the flesh, and the devil. "And following its desires and thoughts." Now the first thing it says is, you were dead. Okay, church? You were dead. Now, there are moments when I look at not just us as a church, but I look at the Christian community and it looks like we're still dead. Do you ever feel that when you look out? It kind of looks like we're still dead. We're doing the same things of the world. We're obsessed with the same things of the world. We're not looking or living any differently. Now, part of spiritual battle is waking up to this truth that we were dead. And now in Christ, we are alive. Right? This life, when we choose to live in the fullness of it, this life changes us. Now what happens at the very beginning, the very core spot, when you receive Jesus, when you acknowledge sin has separated me, I'm lost, I need you, Jesus. When you receive Jesus, there is a positional change at the very core of your identity. You no longer belong to the world. You are no longer dead to the things of the world that this was just mentioning. You are alive, and you have life in Christ. Now, church, if you're here, and you're saying, I don't want to admit that I look around and I see dead people. I don't want to admit that I look at myself and I honestly feel dead. That's okay. Because I want you to wake up to what God is doing. God is calling you out of that death and into life. The only way you're going to do that is if you start to fight the darkness that's around you. And it's a different fight. It's not a literal hand-to-hand combat. It's a fight that's already won for you. We're going to get to that. It's a fight where we look to Jesus and engage in life through Christ. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Okay, that's the end of verse 3. Here it is. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. Okay, one of the images that is moving around that God is speaking to people, specifically in Crossroads, because I've heard it from about 4 different people, is this image of a lifeboat and being lost at sea and a larger ship that comes alongside and draws the lifeboat in. Okay, it's come from a number of different people. Totally unrelated. Well, not unrelated, because we're at the same church. But there hasn't been cross conversation. Now, I would love for us to pray into that and see what God is saying to us. But there is something that's clear right now. When we're dead, it's like we're in that lifeboat. We're adrift at sea. We're lost. We have nothing. We have no provisions. The boat, which is Jesus, or which is the church, however you want to see it. Different people have interpreted it different ways. Comes along. And some people pull up next to that boat. They hook on to the boat. They think about getting out of their little raft and onto the boat, which is life. They think about it. They get close. Maybe there's a ladder, and they start to climb out and put a foot up on it. But it's uncomfortable. I don't feel safe on that ladder. I'm going to get back into my life raft. Actually, you in the big boat hurt me. I'm going to cut this, and I'm going to just go back and drift. I'm going to choose separation. I'm going to choose to stay in death. There are a lot of us. Actually, not a lot of us. Every single one of us makes choices. And every single one of us can choose death the way that we were, or we can choose life. Too often we, every single one of us, are choosing death. Too often. We can change because of the work that Jesus has done. Okay? It starts with us fixing our eyes on Christ. It starts with us getting out of the dinghy and climbing up the ladder into the real life boat. Pray with that image, pray with that picture. Let's continue to discern it together as a community. Now hop over to Galatians, or back to Galatians, I should say. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." All of these things are carrying the same theme, aren't they? Now, Pastor Ken came and talked about freedom sessions a few weeks ago. Freedom sessions, it is about claiming, gaining, accessing our freedom that we have in Christ. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This indicates that we do indeed have choice. When we know the right decisions that we are to make in any scenario, we have choice. There's a saying, "The devil made me do it." It's not a true saying, because God loves us and gives you choice. You have choice. Is the devil going to tempt you? Absolutely. Is he going to try and convince you? Is he going to try and draw you there? Absolutely. Now, is it a different situation if somebody is demonized and there's spiritual access for the demonic, yeah, it's different. But there is freedom. You've been set free for freedom's sake. Church, we've got to start choosing that freedom. We've got to stop listening to the lies. Now we're going to jump down to verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So don't use your freedom to take advantage of things. Use your freedom to serve. Serve was the very first thing that we moved into this God Life series around. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How many times has that happened in our church? How many times has that happened in our community? How many times has that happened here? We, collaboratively, we have to stop it. Stop it. That's right. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Listen up. She's telling us. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? We walk in the Spirit by in every moment recognizing that Christ is at the very core of our being, that every step we take, God is speaking to us and communicating to us and wanting to communicate through us, that every step God has something that He wants us to do, that every moment and every single day, God is with us, He's alive in us, He's moving in us. That's a simplistic version, and we're going to draw back because that's what Paul finishes this section with as well. But I'm just moving down to this section here. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. There is a war. There's an act of war. You know what's good. You want to do what's good, but still you do what's wrong. Or still you do what's bad. How do we combat that? Well, I want to change my habit. Keep in step. Walk in the Spirit. When you have a dark thought that comes into your mind, a temptation, something that you want to do, in that moment, start by claiming your identity in Jesus. Who are you? I am a son. I am a daughter of Jesus. I am rescued. I am saved. I am loved. I have everything I need. I don't need anything else. All of that can come out of your, come into your thoughts and take place in the span of 1 second. And if you use that to speak against the temptation, that's what walking in the Spirit is. That's how you fight. Down to 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to leave that there. Often when we read this, we lump them all together and we say, these are the bad things, just don't do it. Stop it. Now we're going to come back a little bit later in this message and we're going to make space for us to identify, because each and every one of us has one of those things that we wrestle with. And if we're not truthful about what we wrestle with, we will continue to wrestle. Here's the thing, church. You may be facing and wrestling against something that has been an issue for 40 years in your life. Something that came when you were a child or when you were a teenager, and you feel hopeless, like you cannot defeat it. I want to tell you that's a lie. I want to tell you that Jesus can defeat it. You can live in freedom. And that there's hope. That thing that you struggle with, that thing that you don't want anybody to know about, or the thing that you hide behind another thing that's not so bad, you can be freed from that. Now here's the counter in 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now here's another way that you can walk in the Spirit. If you're taking notes, this is a good thing to write down. The first thing, how do you keep in step with the Spirit? Every moment of every day, you pay attention to God's Spirit in you. You ask what He wants you to do. You ask if He has a word or a picture. You are open. Okay, that's the first thing. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? The second is you need to memorize Scripture, because Scripture is how you fight against Satan. What did Jesus do when Satan tempted Him in the desert? Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. He rebuked him. Satan left him. How do we stand firm? We recite Scripture. We let God's truth pour through us, out of us, and that's how we fight. Now, I remember when I was in Bible college, one of our sections that we studied were the fruits of the Spirit. Now, if you say, I'm not good at memory, that's just not something I do. I let God's Spirit bring to me things that I've heard, and you know what, that's fine, but you're deceiving yourself. You need to actually get into God's Word, and you need to memorize Scripture. I actually don't have time because I'm so busy. I take the kids everywhere. I've got 4 different jobs I do. That's a lie. You have time. You need to memorize Scripture. We all do. Every single one of us do. It's going to come really naturally to some, and it's going to be difficult for others. Now, here's how I memorized the fruits of the Spirit. I took the first letter of each word. There's 9 of them. L, J, P, F, K, J, F, G, and S. And I put them on a card. And the first step was to write each and every single one out. And I'd look at it and I'd read it. And then I'd fold it. I'd turn it upside down. Now, you're saying, why? Seriously? Joel, why are you telling? You're telling us studying tactics for a grade 2. There's no grade 2s in here, so. I am, but you need to do it, church. Okay? And then I started to do just the first letters of the word. And then I started to, rather than looking at the card, just let the words come in my mind. And now I can still, before the service, we were praying. I was praying for somebody. And all of a sudden, God said, hey, I want you to pray the fruits of the Spirit. And so I listed out the fruits of the Spirit. I don't think I did them in order. But that's okay. That's okay. Memorize Scripture. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? Memorize Scripture. How do you fight this war? Memorize Scripture. Well, what Scripture should I memorize? Start with the fruits of the Spirit. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. All right. This last week I had to go and get a filling. I had a cavity in one of my teeth. Confession, it's one of the back teeth. It's hard to get to it. Right? And I haven't had one in a long time, so go easy on me. Now, I was sitting down with my dentist. My dentist is up in Pender. Dr. Hind, actually. He's an amazing dentist. I had some awareness that I've coached with him before with the Chinook Swim Club. And I've invited him here. One day I hope and I pray that we will see him here. And church, I want to challenge us. This is what we need to be doing with our community around us. We need to be inviting them, right? We need to be having conversations, inviting them to come and experience and hear God's word. Now, as we were talking, actually, let me give you a little more framework. I understood that he had some exposure to church some time ago, but right now is not at church. And beautiful family. So in this conversation, what starts to happen, right, when you're preparing for the filling is the first thing that they do is the topical, right? So they take it's weird, somebody else in your mouth, right? Gloves, they lift the tongue out there and they put the topical freezing on and you feel it starting to go numb. And so he's going, so how are things going, Joel? How are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing pretty well. What's going on with your master's? Are you still working on it? Yeah, I'm actually doing a course right now on spiritual warfare. And it's like, they kind of look like, it's a little bit awkward because it's kind of creepy, this whole conversation around the enemy and the devil, the guy in the red suit with the horns and the pitchfork. And a bit of a strange look, right? And he kind of deflected the conversation elsewhere, and he started to talk about history in a podcast that he was listening to, a great history podcast. I can't remember the name of it, but he listens to it as he drives up and down the highway. And I said, you know what, that's really interesting, because last week in preparation for my message, I was thinking this warfare that we're in, we know as followers of Jesus that our war is won, right? We know that our war was won when Jesus defeated death on the cross. Now, I was thinking, it's kind of like in World War II, the Allies knew at some point that the war was won. Now, the research I was doing was, when did the Allies actually know that the war was, officially it did not complete until 1945? And different people are going to say different things, but some would suggest as early as 1942, World War II was won. Now, my dentist thinks it's 1943. Honestly, I'm okay with either because I just want to use the image that they knew it was won, but they still had to fight right until 1945. Now, church, we know our battle is done. But we still have to fight right until Jesus returns and calls us home. Or until the day that we die and we go into the presence of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now, the lie is that we can't have fullness, we can't live in fullness until that day. Now, that conversation was fantastic because it started to happen like, with the down mouth, and then I was just asking, anyways. The war is one we still have to fight. The lie is that we can't have fullness until that day. We can have fullness right now if what? We live and walk in the Spirit. Clinton Arnold uses an analogy in his book, Three Questions Around Spiritual Warfare. He says, spiritual warfare is an integral part of the entire Christian experience. It is a fact of life. To think that a Christian could avoid spiritual warfare is like imagining that a gardener could avoid dealing with weeds. Right? To think that we as believers can get away without actually engaging in spiritual warfare is like looking out at my garden and thinking that weeds won't just come. That we have some vegetable gardens, we have some flower gardeners. The primary weeder in our residence is my beautiful wife sitting right here. And she is a professional weeder. She's got skills, she makes things look beautiful. Wouldn't that be nice, babe? If you could go out in the garden and there would be no weeds. One day, it will be like that. Right now, it is not. Now, I want to tie this analogy to all of the things of the flesh that we've mentioned. All of those things are like weeds in our lives. Envy, debauchery, jealousy, rage, all of those things are like weeds in our lives. And our battle is against the flesh that holds and that grows those weeds really well. Now, some of those weeds are really at a surface level. Some of them you can loosen up the dirt, right? You ever do this? You just loosen up the dirt and then you just pop all the weeds out, no big deal. Some weeds go really, really, really deep, don't they? Some weeds go really deep. And the only way that you get those out is not by a control of the will. It's by surrendering of yourself to the Lord and the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Because He is the master gardener. We know that from John 15, right? Romans 7, verses 19 to 20, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Now that was a whole lot of do's in there. I'm going to read it one more time. I want you to listen. "For I do not do the good I want to do." I want to do good. I really want to do good. "But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I can't help myself. I know I'm supposed to make that decision, but I keep on choosing the wrong thing. "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." Now this is speaking about that war that's going on. Now when I was 4 years old, I said something along the lines to my mom. My mom was correcting me on something that I kept doing. She said, saying something like, you have to be careful. You can't just go out the road and down the street and disappear. That's wrong. That's bad. You have to stay close. And I said something like, "I want to do good, Mom. I want to do good, but I just don't do it." Right? Now that analogy somehow made it to my Uncle Bob, who was uncle in that friend manner. He was actually Pastor Bob of our church in Cranbrook, and he shared it. And I was moving through this, and I recalled it. I want to do good. I want, but I just keep doing the wrong thing. I want you to listen carefully. You know, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me who does it. There's two things that are happening there. We're either losing a war of the flesh, where Satan is using and speaking and directing into those areas in our flesh where we're weak, or Satan has moved deeper into us. And I mentioned this last week on the demonization. We talked about that word, the Greek word topos, which is about an inhabited space. Do not give the devil a foothold, topos. Now, it could be that there's movement deeper in your life and there's something more that needs to happen. As we move through this today, I want you to take inventory. Is it really beyond your control? And if it is, then you need to get some people around you that are going to start to pray, and specific people, people at the front here. Because that's moving into a different direction. What we're talking about here is the battle of the flesh, where Satan speaks in and directs. Timothy Keller, in his sermon called Spiritual Warfare, which is really easy to find if you have access to podcasts, and I would recommend you listen to it, he uses this illustration. He references John White, who is a Christian therapist. He wrote a book and used this illustration to explain. If you take a piano, now it can be a grand piano, which is really big and they're really heavy to lift up, So I recommend you do that with somebody if you've got a grand piano. Or you can take an upright piano. It's not going to work on an electronic keyboard. It's not going to work on that one. If you open it up and you sing a note and you just hum a note, oh, what will happen is one of the strings will vibrate. You won't have pressed a key, and it's actually a really neat thing. Anybody done that before? A couple of us. I know some musicians will have. Yeah. So next time you're at somebody's house with a piano, lift it up and see what note it is. Now, here's the thing. What the devil does is he sings a note that's inside of you, and it resonates with something that you're struggling with. It's like he opens up the lid and sings that note and vibrates that note that you're struggling with. Keller says it like this: the devil cannot make a good person bad. The devil makes a flawed person worse. The devil plays on what is already in you. He aggravates what is already in you through lies. If you're bitter, that gives him the ability to press and push you. And then he goes on to talk about, do not give the devil a foothold. Now, sometimes those weeds go so deep, it's like we sit there and rather than Satan having to sing a note in, it's like he plays the piano. You ever notice that? When you start to make bad decisions and you get trapped, and you keep making worse and worse and worse, it's a song that comes out. It's not a nice song. You don't want that song. How do you counter that song? You keep in step with the Spirit. In every moment of every day, you look to Jesus. In every moment, you ask, what do you need, Lord? What do you have for me? You take God's word, you memorize it, you imprint it in your very heart, in your spirit, so that you are able to stand firm and fight this battle. Now what we're going to do is, I'm going to invite our prayer teams up. I'm going to invite our ministry team to come up. And I am going to, in our closing prayer, I'm just going to read through those verses in Galatians again. And the first ones I'm going to read are the sin ones, the acts of the flesh, which are obvious. And I want you to listen for which one Satan is speaking and humming into. Okay? I want you to listen. Which one of these is Satan working against you on? And when you identify it, I want you to acknowledge it, and then I want you to hold it before the Lord. And then at some point today, out loud, I want you to find a space where you can out loud say, by the authority of Jesus. Now, when you choose Jesus, remember, you are his son, you are his daughter, you are an heir, which means that you have authority. You have authority over darkness. You have authority over evil. So I want you to speak out loud, by the authority of Jesus, I send you away, Satan. You do not have access to rage in my life. I want you to speak that out loud. Why? Because God is all-knowing. God knows what you think. Satan doesn't know. He suggests, but he doesn't know what's going on. So with your authority, you speak it out loud. Really simple. Speak it out loud, and then turn that prayer back to Jesus and say, Jesus, make me clean. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, bring me. Walk with me, Lord. So I've given you three things today. Three things of how to keep in step with the Spirit. Three things of how to fight this war. How to fight this war of the flesh. Every single one of us has weeds in our lives. God's bigger. God can reach in right to the very bottom of that weed and rip it out and get rid of it. Now, the other part of this is if you do that and you still find exactly the same struggle, I want you to come and talk to me. I want you to come and talk to one of our prayer teams at the front next week. Okay? So I'm going to let you stay seated while I read through this scripture, and then I'm going to invite you to stand in a moment. Let's pray. And so right now, in this moment, Jesus, we recognize that we are your children. This is your place, and by your authority, we command any works of Satan to stop. We command them to silence. We command any harassing to cease. And we just ask, Lord, that you would place your angels around us. And so, church, as I read this through, listen for where this is impacting and shaping your life, and hear invitation into hope, into freedom, not condemnation because you're struggling with it, because you're covered. You're already covered from that. So just listen. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Now just sit for just for one moment and consider and hold that word, hold that sin, hold that weed before Jesus. Just in your mind, hold it before Jesus. All right, church, I'm going to invite you to stand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that you would open our eyes, that you would bring to light those areas that you want to deal with. Those areas that have been crucified, those areas that were, but no longer are. We pray freedom in this place. We pray freedom for our people. We pray freedom and revival for our community. Lord, we ask that you would open the floodgates, that you would pour your Spirit on us, that you would renew us, that you would give us visions, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would show us how to join you in this battle. And so we say thank you. God, we love you. Amen. Amen. So church, we're going to move into a time right now of ministry. And we've got our prayer teams at the front here. And we have communion happening here as well. If something resonated for you that we were talking about, I want you to come forward and talk with one of our prayer teams. If you have not made a decision to follow Jesus and something stirred in your heart, I want to invite you to come forward and pray with one of our teams. If anything is confusing or you forget the wording of it, just check in with me during the week, or again, check in with one of our prayer teams. I pray God's freedom. I pray God's peace for us all this week. Have a great week in Christ.